Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Ches. In our previous shiur, we discussed the issue of an animal falling into someone's field and having to pay for the benefit that the animal experienced by its falling onto someone else's crops. In our Mishnah, we saw that the pay rate is what's called mashinenes, for what the animal benefited. And we explained that the benefit was that the animal's fall was cushioned. What happens if the animal fell in as a result of something beyond its control? And what happens if the animal fell in and then after falling in it deliberately continued eating beyond the row upon which it fell? These are ideas and topics that we'll see in the upcoming discussion. So now the Gemara, as we mentioned, 7 lines from the top. Hechi nofal. How did the animal fall in? In other words, what were the circumstances that caused it to fall in? Rav Kahana Omar, shehuchlika b'meimei ragleha. The animal slipped on its urine. Rava Omar, shedochfasa chaverta. It was pushed by another animal. In other words, there was a narrow path, and the oncoming animal shoved this animal into the field that was located lower down below the road. Mand Omar shedochfasa chaverta. According to the opinion, opinion of Rava, that the fall was a result of a fellow animal pushing this animal into the field that was, as we said, located lower down, and the pay rate is the lower rate called mashinenis. Mashinenis is a value that we'll say is less than the value of the actual damage. In other words, if the animal's fall was cushioned on, let's say, very expensive crops, the value of the cushioning of a fall is less than the actual value of the crops that were ruined. So we're referring to that as the mashinenis rate. So if we say if the cause of the fall was being shoved by a fellow animal, then kol shekein shehuchlika b'meimei ragleha, then certainly the offense will be compensated for by the lower rate if it was a function of it slipping on its urine. Uman diomar shehuchlika b'meimei ragleha, the one who says that the fall described in the Mishnah and the ability to pay the lower rate is it slipping on its mei raglayim. However, the situation of an animal falling as a result of its being shoved into the field by another animal, then the pay rate is going to be mashehizika, the value of the actual damage. Why? Because in that case, you have an element of negligence. The omarle, the owner of the field, will say to the animal owner that the owner of the animal that fell into the field, Iboyoloch avuri chado chado. You should have had your animals pass on the road one by one. Why did you allow a situation to have two animals trying to squeeze by on a narrow path? Omar Rav Kahana, lo shanu ela ba'oisa aruga. The payment of mashenenis applies only to the immediate row of vegetation upon which the animal fell. Avo me'aruga le'aruga mishalemes mashezika. If, however, the animal continued, let us say, to roll onto other rows of vegetation, that already is not associated anymore with the uncontrolled fall, but more of a, say, the initiation of the animal, and therefore full damages must be paid. Rav Yochanan Omar, afilu me'aruga aruga. Rav Yochanan is lenient with regard to the animal owner and says, even from row to row, afilu kol hayom kulo, even if the animal stays in that field all day, rolling from place to place, ruining the crops upon which it's rolling, the rate is the lower ma shenanis rate. Ad shetetze v'tachso ledas. Until the owner knows about the animal's departure from the field. Now, on this last point, ad shetetze v'tachso ledas, Rav Papa will comment, but let's just go over what Rabbi Yochanan's point again. He says that the lower rate of mashenes will continue to be paid even for eventual rows of vegetation that the animal rolls on will be paid until shetetze v'tachsudas. Now, literally, that would mean until the animal leaves and returns with the owner's knowledge. Rashi, though, explains, until the owner knows that the animal left the field and did not lock the gate or the door of the animal pen, karois, the lashon of Rashi, karois means properly. If you see this in Rashi, it says, v'tachsir l'das shelo no'al b'fonel karois. We continue in the Gemara, Omar af Papa, lo temo ad shetetze l'das v'tachsor ladas. Rav Papa qualifies this. He says, "Don't say that we'll say that there is a leniency until that point that the owners were aware that the animal left and that they didn't provide even a minimum level of guarding once the animal left the field." Once you have a situation where the owners were aware that the animal left the field, the owner will have to pay the mashezika rate, the higher rate of damage, the full damage, even though it returns shelo ladas. Now, we're not going to give that the literal explanation, but rather, as Rashi says, "Afal gav shechoser shelo ledas, dahashta lo saki lo b'shmira p'chusa." It's not enough that the owner would provide a mere low level of guarding. Rather, at this point, once the animal had left the field, the owner was expected to keep guard of that animal with a high level shmira, high-level guarding. It is no longer sufficient to provide the low-level guarding. Before encountering Rav Papa, one got the impression from what Rav Yochanan said that the payment of mashezika will arise only if, once the animal leaves the field, the owner does not provide any, even the minimum level of watching. But once the owner provides a minimal level of watching, then the owner is exempt. He doesn't have to pay, if there is subsequent damage, mashezika. Rav Papa says that's not true. Rav Papa says that the departure of the animal from the field with the owner's knowledge requires the owner at that point, the owner of the animal, to put his animal under a high level of watching. The Gemara continues, my taima, why is that the case? The Omar lay, the owner of the field, if there's a subsequent damage, can say, Kevan di alpha, once your animal learned its way to this field, kal emas de mishmata, de mishtamta, any time it has a chance to get away, lahasam rot, it's going to run to my field. So the animal already has a tendency to try to get to my field. Therefore, the minimum level of watching that you would provide is not enough anymore. Yordo kedarka vehezika mishalemis ma shezika. The Mishnah taught that if the animal went down in a normal fashion as opposed to falling into the field, then the damage that the animal creates must be compensated by the higher ma shezika rate, the full rate, the full value of the damage. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading we call Shelas Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah will ask a question. Yardu kedark v'ziku b'mei leida, an animal that descended in the field on its own, and it damaged the field with birth, we call them birth juices, liquids that an animal secretes during the birth process. Do we view this as an incident that began through negligence? An animal merely walking down into someone else's field is a sign that the owner was negligent. However, the damage that was caused was through something, may leida, the birth liquids that might be viewed as something beyond the owner's control. So something that begins b'shia, but the actual damage is through ones, might be treated in a more lenient fashion. Or maybe we don't look at this case through that analysis. Now the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yorda Kedarka Vezika B'mei Leidomahu. The animal descended into the field Kedarka through a normal path, normal way, and damaged the crops with the birth liquids. Mahu, what is the din? Aliba Daman de Omar, according to the first opinion that we'll say here, there's actually no question. There's a second underlined Madomar where our question will begin. But according to this mandom, this opinion that says that incidents that began through negligence, though the eventual damage is through ones, full guilt is born. The born is a poor choice of puns right now, but full, the animal owner must pay in full. In other words, we emphasize the beginning of the act. Lo tiboyalach, then here there is no question that full damages have to be paid. Ki tiboyalach halimba damada omar, the question that Rav Yirmiyah raises is, according to the opinion that says trilaso b'pshia v'soifa b'oines potter, that in general actions or events that begin through negligence, but the actual damage eventually is through ones. The ones idea here is the owner didn't know that the animal was going to give birth just now. My, how do we view this? Just to repeat the main point, there is an opinion that says Tchilasu b'pshia v'soifa b'oines is potter, is exempt, does not have to pay the full rate, does not have to pay the masha hizika rate. What about in our case? Now, two sides of the analysis. Mi amrinon kevon de Tchilasu b'pshia v'soifa b'oines potter. Do we say that this appears to be a standard example of Tchilaso b'pshia, which eventually, where the damage eventually is through ones, through something beyond the owner's control, and therefore the owner of the animal is exempt? Dilma hachakula b'pshiahu. Or rather, in this particular case, this is Rav Yirmiyah's question, that it's total negligence. There is no element of ones here. The keva de kachazi de kreva lala meilat, since the owner of the animal saw it was coming near to its birth time, iboya le lintura, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, ulastamuri begava. The owner should have watched it and been careful with all of its actions, including its presence in someone else's field. so that the damage through the May Leda, according to this analysis, was total negligence, and therefore the owner would have to pay full damages. Teiku. This remains unresolved. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Also, take note that we indicate this goes till Nun Tes Amud Beis. So it's a rather long discussion ahead of us. We're going to be discussing Eich Shomen HaNezek. How do we evaluate the cost of the damage? And we're going to see extensive talk about a method of evaluation that we call in broad terms Echod B'Shishim, literally 1 in 60, which basically says instead of looking at the damage that the animal controlled in a vacuum, look at it in perspective. If I were to be a bit superficial in communicating this idea, I would say there's a difference between an item that you buy on an item basis or the value of an item that you buy in at bulk rate. As I say, that's a little bit superficial, but it gets the idea across. And now we take a look at the Gemara, the top line of Amud Beis, Ketzad Mishalemes Ma'ashezika. The Mishnah went on to say, Shomen Beis Saw Ba'oisa Sadeb. The evaluation is by looking at the value of a Beis Saw, which is an area, it's a dimension, a measure of land. You look at it, what is the value of a Beis Saw within that field? That's a literal translation of the Mishnah. The Gemara will be far more detailed later. We're asking here, from where do you know that you look at the damage in its context as opposed to in isolation? Omar of Matana, the Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Uvier Bistei Acher. This Pasuk appears in the context of an animal that causes damage in someone's field. And Milamed Shishomin Al Gav Sode Acher. This teaches me that I look at the area damaged in the perspective of another field, as opposed to looking at it in isolation. The Gemara asks, "Hi ubir b'stei acher miboyale lafuke rishus harabim." Is it not so that I need this pasuk for something else to teach me that if an animal eats food belonging to someone, however, the food is in a public thoroughfare, there is exemption? The pasuk indicates stei acher, a privately owned field, as opposed to damage done in a rishus harabim, in a public thoroughfare. So how can you use the pasuk for teaching us how to evaluate values of damage? The Gemara answers him, Cain, lichtoiv rachmon ubir b'stei chavero. If the pasuk was simply coming to exclude damage done by animal eating in a public domain, the pasuk would have chosen the phrase chavero. It consumed produce in his friend's field. Inami, or the pasuk would have said stay acher, my bistay acher. And the pasuk, if it's only for excluding the public thoroughfare, it would have said ubier stay acher. The base that's added to the word bistay acher, what does that tell us? Sheshomin al gav stay acher, that the evaluation of the damage is in the context of the value within a within another field, within a larger area. The Gemara asks, V'yema kule lahachi hu da'asa. Maybe that's the whole purpose of the pasuk lafuke rishus harabim min mindalon. And as far as excluding animal eating food in a public domain, that there is exemption from, where would I know that? Im kain, if the pasuk is coming only for the laws of evaluating damage, lichtevei rachmono, then let this pasuk be stated gabi tashlumin. It should have been stated in the verse that deals with payment. which says, and it would have read, Meitav Sodeu, Umeitav Karmo, Yishalem, Bisdei Acher. That pasuk deals with the nature and the quality of the payment that must be made. And I would have inserted into that pasuk the expression, Bisdei Acher. But that's not how the Torah presents it. Lomali de Kasve Rachmona Gabi Ubi'er. What motivated the Torah to teach me the pasuk of Stei Acher in the context of wreaking destruction, Ubi'er, consuming and destroying crops? So the fact that it's featured in this other context, instead of in the simple payment context, Shmami Notarti, I learned both points. I learned the exclusion of the public domain from a place where causing damage would have resulted in obligation from the location of the pasuk of Stei Acher, and I learn that there is payment made only in context of the destruction from the words Acher, Stei Acher, that the evaluation is not made in isolation but in the context of a larger field. Hechi Shaiminon. And now we raise the question more, we focus on the detail of how is the evaluation made. Their Mishnah mentioned the expression that Shomen Beisa Ba'oisa Sada. What does that mean, Shomen Beisa? Beisa is an objective amount. Let us not forget that there was an actual area that was damaged, and that's of course subjective to each case. The Mishnah uses the objective term, we evaluate a Beisa. So how is the evaluation actually made? As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a double underline marking, one of our series markings, on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh. The structural note, we indicate Gimel Shitos, three opinions, Bi'eich, Shomen, Es Ha'aruga, Shenizoka. How do we estimate the value of the damage of the Aruga, of the row of crop that was ruined? Klomar, Hodikotani, that which the Mishnah says, Ketzad Mishalemes Mashaziko Shomen Beisa Boisa Sade, Kama Hoisi Yofe Vekama Yofe. The Mishnah itself said, how is damage evaluation made? By offering an estimate for the value of a Beisa in that particular field, assuming we have a large field that contains many Beisas. How much is the value of a base saw in that field before the damage, and how much is the value of that base saw right now? Eich mechashbenim es hanezek. How do we calculate the damage? So now we go back to the Gemara. Heichi shayminon. Omar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina saw b'shishim sa'in. You would look at the a saw area of the field and ask yourself, how much would it cost to buy 60 of these? And then you will take the amount, 1/60th of that number, and that will give you the value of the base saw the Mishnah referred to. And then, of course, you will look at the value of that base saw before the damage. How much would a person pay for that base saw before the damage was wrought? And how much would it be valued now after the damage? And that difference is the amount that would be paid. I'm sure many are thinking why this seemingly cumbersome multi-level method of calculating the damage. Rashi gives quite a bit of perspective on the matter. I think we'll benefit by learning the Rashi together. Starting from the second line from the top, Sa b'shishim sa'in, Hai b'sa d'kotoni b'masnisen. The Mishnah's reference to a b'sa, the Bishvil Aruga Achas Shomen Beisa. The Mishnah mentioned that in order to find the value of the aruga, the row that was damaged, we have to set a price on a beisaw. Lav beisaw ba'an pi nafshe shayminon. We're not going to be evaluating a base saw itself in isolation. Bumping option means by itself. The makhishin le'lamazik, we'd be overcharging the offender. Lefisha base saw, the reason for that is that an isolated base saw, nimkeres piyoker, is sold expensively. Lefi shemuat hu, since it's a relatively small area of land, V'eino motsui limocher, it's hard to find them for sale. So you have an issue of supply and demand. The supply of small parcels of land is very limited. V'oni she'en yodo maseges l'dmei karka gdola, k'eino yiso b'yosha midomav. A poor man who can't afford a large parcel of land will buy this, but pay more than the market rate for it. V'korachas aruga shokavu kabayim choshiv lo, Lefi Domov, and we would then be evaluating the Korachas, literally is the balding, the ripping out of the crops by the animal in a particular row. A Kav is a sixth of a saw, it's a subdivision in calculation. One or two Kav would be calculated then in the perspective or in respect of that expensive beisaw. That would be a lot. That would be expensive. That would be causing excessive compensation upon the mazik, the damager, the offender. Ela, so what do we do? Instead of evaluating the beisaw in isolation, shomin shishim sa'im, we evaluate what would the value of 60 sa'ah be, kama shovin, how much would that be, v'royin kama domim magim lebeisaw, and then we would say how much would one sa'ah of those 60 cost, v'choysin v'shomin kama nifchisu domov b'shvil karachas arugazu, and then once we get to the value of one sa'ah, but in the bulk rate, then we evaluate how much has it depreciated by the ruination of one row. One row, if that was the amount that was ruined. V'im tomar, now Rashi raises a question that everyone themselves might have asked. Loma huzkar beisaw, why bother mentioning the beisaw, an individual beisaw? Why not look at the value of the damage in the perspective of 60 saw? Shim hoya shomin mitchila ruga b'shishim soim kama hoyu yofin v'kama hein yofin. Imagine you have a field that measures thousands and thousands of acres of land, and just one strip measuring of 20-30 feet has been damaged. Lo hoya mashalim klum, people wouldn't pay anything for that. Meaning, people in buying a field measuring thousands of acres wouldn't pay any less just because a couple feet of crop has been damaged. Shein korachas aruga ktana nikeres b'shishim soim. The ruination of one row, a small row of crop in a vast field, isn't noticeable. Avol b'beisaw nikeres, but in a small parcel of land, one row of damage is noticeable. But just to repeat the main idea, but to calculate the value of that row in one beisaw, the price that we affix to the beisaw is in the bulk rate, not in isolation. So Rav Yossi Berlino speaks in terms of calculating the individual area of a sa'ah in terms of a larger 60 area. Rabbi Yanai Omar, we're continuing in the more with the second opinion. Tirkav b'shishim tirkavim. The calculation is by taking the value of a tirkav. A tirkav is one half a sa'ah in the context of a large field measuring 30 sa'ah, 60 half kavs, 60 tarkavims, is 60 half sa'ahs is 30 sa'ah. Rashi explains why this adjustment. It's still a 1 in 60 rate. It's a half saw in the context of 60 half saws. But we look at Rashi and you'll appreciate why the difference. So Rashi says, Tirkav v'shishim tirkavim, shloishim sim shamin v'lo shishim. We evaluate the 1/60th in a background of 30 sa'ah. De'im kain mafsinis le lenizik. Because otherwise you're going to cause a loss to the victim. He won't be getting a properly compensated. He's getting too little. Shein kainin mitzuyin l'shishim soyim. The market for fields measuring 60 saw is not very great. L'fishim rubamein l'alda benoni. For your average kind of person, it's a little bit much. U'mu'atim heim l'meshubah b'nechosim. And it's too small for a person that is very wealthy in terms of land ownership. So you don't have much market for a 60 saw area. Therefore, the value per saw in such an area is there's a little demand, so the price naturally goes down. The Gemara continues, Chizkiya Amar. Chizkiya says much simpler. He says, Kelach b'shishim klochim. You look at the value of the damage it caused and simply multiply that amount by 60, and then you take 1/60th. This is the, we'll say, the most basic approach that we refer to as bulk rate. Instead of looking at the cost of the damage in isolation, you rather multiply the amount that was damaged by 60 and then take the value of that particular crop by saying, what's the cost of 1/60th of that? So that, as I'm sure everyone can well imagine, in buying a tomato in the supermarket, you're going to end up paying more for buying a supermarket. Maybe that's not a good example when things are put on scales, but certainly if you buy from an individual a single tomato off his farm, you're going to be paying more than if you buy it's going to cost you more than the value of a single tomato that you buy as part of a large barrel full of tomatoes. Meisve, we raise an objection. Ochlo kav o kabayim. If an animal eats a kav of produce or two kav of produce, we mentioned earlier those are measures. Ein omrim tishalem demehem. We don't say pay the amount that a kav is sold in the market. Eloroyan oisa kilu hi aruga ketana umisharim osa. Rather, we look at them as a amount that the animal ate as a small roe, and we evaluate the small roe. My lav, is it not so bifnei atzma that we evaluate it in isolation? In formulating the question, it appears that there's a difference in price of what a person would pay in the store versus the value as part of a field. But we're looking at the row as part of a field in isolation. We're just looking how much is that row going to cost, that row of vegetation. However you look at things, the Gemara's purpose here is in raising a question against all the above-mentioned opinions. Because all the above-mentioned opinions looked at the area damaged as a subunit of a much larger area. And that doesn't appear to be the case here. The Gemara says, lo, b'shishim. This source that says you look at it in terms of a row, it means in the context of 60 times that amount, how much would 60 times that amount cost? Each one according to his opinion, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yanai, and Chizkiah. But as far as this Tanaic source is concerned, the evaluation is to make by first establishing how much would 60 times it be, and then taking the 1/60th value and making the calculation accordingly. I say according to each one of the opinions mentioned above. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a source, and the source is not going to be very clear, and we'll see as the Gemara goes on some triangles appearing, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh, our structural note, we indicate these are Pirushim, Lamokur, Ein, Shomen, Kav. These are explanations regarding this particular source that begins with the words Ein, Shomen, Kav that we continue with in the Gemara. The Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein, Shomen, Kav, Vipnei, Shemashbicho. Velo, Beiskur, Vipnei, Shepogmo. We could translate this literally, but realize that the Gemara is going to be asking my ka'omar, which is a question that the Gemara raises when it has seen a source that is very vague or very difficult to understand. So instead of offering a literal translation, let's continue in the Gemara where you see the triangles which present the actual meaning of the source according to these respective opinions. So, Omar Papa, Hochi Komar, Ein Shomen Kav, Beshishim Kavim, Mitmeshim Ashbiach Mazik. Don't evaluate the damage by looking at the value of a Kav in the context of 60 Kavim. Why? Because that will benefit the mazik. That will benefit the offender. How does that benefit the offender? The area of 60 kav is an area that is not in much demand. And since it's not an area in much demand, the amount someone will pay for 60 kav is, of course, limited. Therefore, the subunit of one kav in the context of 60 kavim is going to enable the offender to get off cheap. That's what Mashbiach Mazik is. Velo kur b'shishim kurim, the area of a kur, or the amount of a kur, I should say, kur of grain, if the animal ate that amount, you're not going to evaluate that in the context of 60 kur, because mipnei shepogem mazik, that would cause a loss to the mazik. Why is that? Because there is great demand for a parcel of land that measures 60 kur. The per unit, the kur value, the per unit value of a kur in a 60 kur context would be, well, above, we'll say, the standard market value. That is how Rav Papa understands the source that we said was vague. Maskif lo Rav Huna bar Manoach. Rav Huna says there's a point of difficulty in Rav Papa's explanation. And what is that? Because in the original source it said velo base core. High velo base core, velo core mi boy ale. According to Rav Papa's explanation that the figures reflected the amount eaten, like in the Resha, it said a kav b'shishim, a kav, the amount eaten, within the context of 60 kav. What is the reference to a base core, the addition of the word base, if the words here are a reference to the amount eaten? So as Rav Huna says, it should have said velo kur. Elo Omar Rav Huna bar Manoach Mishmei de Rav Acha bar Dravika Hachi Kotoni Ein Shomen Kav Bifnei Atzmo You don't evaluate how much is the cost of a kav on its own. But that would be offering too much compensation to the victim. Velo kav, notice, here is the approach of Rav Acha regarding the second part of the original source. Nor do we evaluate a kav beves kur, the value of a kav eaten in the context of a field measuring a kur. A kav is a would come out to be 1/180th of a base kur, because there are 6 kav in a saw and there are 30 saw in a kur. So we are not going to, if the animal ate, let's say, a kav amount of produce, evaluate how much would a kav loss in a field measuring a kur be. Why? Because since it's so it's so not noticeable, it wouldn't decrease the price of an area measuring a kur if a field that measured a kur was lacking a kav of produce in it. Why? Because that would cause a loss to the nizak. He would be getting practically no compensation. Elo v'shishim. Rather, the method of evaluation is in the 60 times approach that we mentioned above. Of course, we saw that each one according to his opinion, according to, we saw Rabbi Yosef Hanina, Rabbi Yanai, and Chizkiah in their respective approaches. I want to point out that we presented this Gemara basically according to Rashi. There is quite a vibrant discussion amongst the different Rishonim offering alternative explanations to the sugya. For those who want to research it in greater depth, you can start with the Tosfos on this page and continue your research by looking in the Shita Mekubetzes, which offers many different Rishonim dealing with the method of evaluation. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading, which says, Maisa be'odom hamazik. Up till now, we were discussing an animal that causes damage, and in this incident, we'll be speaking about a person that causes damage. Shekotzat tzedekel chaveri, cut down a palm tree belonging to his friend. Haim orchim shuma b'shishim, kamo b'vehemo hamazik. Establish an evaluation system based on the 60 times, like we did with an animal that caused damage, or possibly not? The Gemara, Hahu Gavra, there was a man, the Kutz Kasva Mechavre, who cut down a kasva, a palm tree of his friend. Also, the Kame Deresh Lakish, the Deresh Gelusa, the case came to the attention of the exilarch. Omar Lay, the exilarch, responded and he said, Lididi Chazili, I saw that very palm that was cut down. Utlosa Talsa Bikino Havokaimi. Vavushavu Meazuzi. There were 3 palm trees growing one right next to the other. Rashi's expression is Tlosa de Kolam Ze Eitzel Ze. 3 palm trees growing right one next to the other, and their total original value was 100 zuz. Now, this offender cut down one of them. Zil havle tlosin utlosa vitilsa. You have to pay 33 and a third. The offender heard this, and he said, Omar, gabi reish galusa de doin dino de parso lomali. He was upset, very upset by this ruling, and he said, reason should I be near by the Reish Galusa, who offers a form of justice that he calls Dina de Parsol, called Persian justice? The main point is, it's not Din Torah in the mind of this offender. It's not a Torah judgment. Also, the Kame de Rav Nachman. So the case came to Rav Nachman, Omar Lei B'Shishim. And Rav Nachman ruled it'll be in terms of 60. Similar to what we spoke about earlier. As the Gemara continues, you'll see here Rava asking on Rav Nachman. Following that, two lines later, you'll see Abaye, at the end of the next line, you'll see Omar Le Abaye coming to defend Rav Nachman. And when Abaye enters the picture, you will see that the Gemara has a rather long point. Now the Gemara. Omar Le Rava. Rava asks on Rav Nachman, Im Omru Benizke Mamono, if the 1 in 60 method of evaluation was mentioned in the context of his mamon being mazik, a behemoth, for example, his animal being mazik, Yomru Benizke Gufo, are we going to apply the 60 method with regard to a man, the person who himself is mazik? The 1 in 60 method, we can say is a certain level of there is a definite level of leniency that the halacha provides for the offender when it's his mamon that did the damage. But when it's the person himself that does the damage, pay in full, meaning you look objectively in isolation the value of the damage that was caused. That's Rava's objection to Rav Nachman. Namely, just to repeat, Rav Nachman seems to apply the behemoth standard to the person himself who is causing the damage, and Rava feels that's not right. Amar le Abaye le Rava. Abaye responds to Rava in defense of Rav Nachman, and he does so. His defense is based on the way we look at Tanaic sources. In effect, there's a very long, Abaye makes a very long point here, and at the end of the point, we don't find any response on the part of Rava. So that's why we're calling this a point, whereby he's questioning Rava, but there's no answer that follows, per se. It's really a point in defense of Rav Nachman. So he says to Rava, Benizke gufo mai daitech. The idea of evaluating in isolation the cost of the damage when it's a person that wrought the damage, what is your basis? What's your thinking based on? Disanya, is it based on the following? So we have a source and it says, Hamavkir karmu shel chavero smodar. The word mavkir means he ruined the karma, the vineyard of his friend, while the grapes were in a very early stage of development called smodar. Roin oisoi kama hoisa yofa kaidem lochein vekamo hi yofa liachar mikain. The source says we look at the value of the vineyard before the damage, and we look at the value after the damage. That difference, that depreciation, is what the offender will have to pay. No reference made to multiplying a given area or a given amount by 60 and then taking the subunit amount and making the calculation based on that. And here we're talking about a person, an Odom Hamazik. No mention of Shishim. Is that the basis of you, Rava? Otu gabi behemto, nami, mi lo tanyo ki hai gavno. Do we not have actually a similar phenomenon when it comes to behemo that's mazik? Now here we're going to employ a very long brackets. The purpose of this, just to skip to the end, to get to the main point. After the brackets, if you pick up and you read, V'lo kotani b'shishim. Here you have a case, a Tanaic source, involving behemoth that's mazik. The source has a great amount of detail in it, but one thing is for sure. Within the course of this source, there's no reference to multiplying by 60 to come to an evaluation. The Gemara continues there on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Elo Mai Yislocha Meimar. What are you going to have to say about this behemoth source dealing with animal destruction, where animal causes destruction? You're going to have to say Beshishim, that in the calculation that is referred to in the source is in the context of multiplying by 60 and then making the subdivision, making the division into subunits. Well, Hachinami Beshishim, so too by the Odom Hamazik source, though Shishim, the 60 idea, was not mentioned explicitly, you have to understand it thusly. Just to repeat Abaye's main point, you, Rava, if you're basing your ignoring of 60 based on a Tanaic source, which is the right thing for an Amora to do, base yourself on a source. So if you're basing your attack on Rav Nachman, who said Odom HaMazik is calculated in terms of 60, and you, Rav, are saying to Rav Nachman, no, there's no 60, because we have a Tanaic source that speaks about an Odom that's Mazik, a person that causes damage, and no 60 is mentioned. Yeah, but by Behema also, which you yourself acknowledge, the 60 method of evaluation is done, yet in the animal source, no reference to 60 is mentioned, but it's self-understood. So too in the other Mamazic source, true, 60 was not mentioned, but it's self-understood. Now, let's go back over the Gemara with the bracketed section, and I emphasize, at this point in the Gemara, the details of the source are not of central importance. However, Emir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we're going to be focusing in on a number of the details that are mentioned. So as we go through the source, any explanation that we give regarding the details, bear it in mind for the next shiur, Mirtz Hashem. So what is the source dealing with an animal that's mazik? What does it say? Disanya. We're reading within the brackets. Kitma netia, an animal, cut down a sapling. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Geizre Gezeres Shibushalayim Omerim. The Gemara here is referring to an early group of rabbis that are featured in Maseches Ksubos, a Mishnah toward the end of Maseches Ksubos. Rashi tells us their names, Admon and Chonon ben Avshalom. Some have Gersos Avishalom. These great figures ruled the following. Literally, Gozrei Gzeiros are rabbis that make rules and ordinances that were in Yerushalayim. Omrim, Netiyah, they said regarding a sapling, the pay rate is Bashnos, if it's a one-year-old sapling that was ruined, Shtei Kesef, two pieces of silver are to be paid. Bas Shtei Shanim, if it's a two-year-old sapling, Arbaal Kesef, four pieces of silver are made. This volcano shape that you see is explained on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh, Dugmois Shel Nezek Behema Betzomer, examples of Nezek done by an animal regarding different plants, different growths. The next example, we go back, continue in our Gemara, Ochla Chazis. Chazis, Rashi says, Shachas. Shachas is grain in its early stages of development. So an animal ate tavua, ate grain in its shachas stage, early stage of development. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Nidon b'Meshuyer Shavo. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, and we're going to Mirtz Hashem in our next year come back to his opinion. That's why you notice an arrow to the side of the Gemara text indicating Nun Tes Amud Aleph. He says that you don't look at the value of the grain as it is right now in its early stage, but you look at it, what will it be worth at the time of harvest, and pay accordingly. V'chachomim oimrim, royen oiso kama hoisi yofe, v'kama hi yofe. The chachomim look at the value of the field as it is, as it was before the animal did its damage, before the animal ate the, we'll say, the row or the rows of shachas, and how much is that parcel of land worth right now after the damage. We continue at the top of Daf Nun Tes. Ochla Smodar. Here we're dealing with damage to vines, grape vines. The animal ate the grapes when they were in their Smodar stage. The Smodar stage is a very early stage of development. It's after the blossom fell off. Rashi says on the top, Smodar Anovan Dakim, very small grapes, Bahasholosin in their beginning, La'achar Sheporchum Yad, immediately after the blossoming. In other words, the blossom fell off, and now you have the grapes, you can see them in their very early stage of development. That is called Smodar. So if it ate Smodar, Rabbi Yeshua, Oimer Royan Oison Ki'ilu Hein Anovim Oimdoisli Botzer. You look at them as if they are fully ripe grapes. Grapes, omdos libotzer, ready for harvesting. V'chachomim omrim, royen kama hoisa yofe v'kama hi yofe. The Rabbonon, similar to what we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph, they look at the smodar as it is right now. How much was the vineyard worth before the damage in its smodar stage, and how much is that area worth now that area has been, the several plants or whatever that the animal eaten, how much is it worth now with the damage in place? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bamed Vamamurim. When do we evaluate things, damage in accordance with the value of the ground, just like we calculated with regard to the Chachamim? When do we make an evaluation in that fashion? Bizman Shochlo Lulve Gefanav Yuhuritainim. The Lulve Gefanim stage, Rashi points out, is before the Smodar. It's earlier than the Smodar stage. The grapes have the blossom is hasn't fallen off. It's still just in its blossoming stage, and the same stage of development in a parallel fruit, the tainim, figs, is called yihurei tainim. So it's an earlier stage. So in the case of damage done to grapevines and fig trees at that very early stage, we say how much was that parcel of land worth before the damage, and how much is that same parcel of land worth after the damage. Avol ochal pagim uboisar. Pagim is a fig level of development that is later than smodar, and bosar is the same situation by grapes. Grape development later than smodar. If that's what happened, Royan Oisan Kilo Anovim Oimdos Libotzer. We look at them as if they were fully ripe grapes. And payment would be made accordingly. Just take note of the fact that we had, in the course of our discussion, we made reference to three levels of development. We've included, Rashi discusses them, and we've included them in the margin of the Gemara, where, if you notice, we indicate a heading called Dargos. Dargos means stages, the earliest stage, Lulvin, second stage, Smodar, third stage, Bosar. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, in his presentation, looks at the two, we'll say, extreme stages. He looks at the pre-Smodar stage, how evaluation is made, and the post-Smodar stage, how evaluation is made. What is his opinion with regard to Smodar? That, Emirtz Hashem, will figure in a discussion in our next Shiur. Kotoni Mihas. Here, as is characteristic of the Shas, when you have a long Tanaic source, and there's only one point that really is the focus of the discussion, so it quotes an excerpt from the source. Kotoni Mihas, it however says in this source, V'chachomim omrim royen oison kama hoise yofe, v'kama hi yofe. We saw them say that, how much their method of evaluation, and they said this twice in the source, at the bottom of Nun Chesomet Beis, and here at the second line from the top, the Chomer Pir again. We look at how much it was worth before the damage, how much it's worth now. Now, that's what the Chachamim said. Velo kotani b'shishim. And there's no reference to the idea of multiplying an area by 60 and then figuring the value of the of 1/60th of that large number and calculating as we indicated on Omer Aleph, on Nunches, on Daf Nunches. No mention of Shishim. And here you're talking about a behemo that's mazik, a behemo that's causing the damage. Elo amai isloch lemeimar. Abai says to Rava, what are you going to say about this animal damaging source? B'shishem, that the calculation has to be made by multiplying a particular area without specifying, because we saw several different approaches to that, but by multiplying an area by 60 and then taking the subdivision and making your evaluation accordingly. Hachinami, so too in the original source, Hamafkir Kamish Chavero, which was talking about Odom Hamasik, also you're going to make your evaluation in terms of 60. Just like Rav Nachman said. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.